Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that in your word you reveal to us the path of life. You reveal to us the path that your son took of humility, God, that he gave of himself. He gave himself that we might live. Father, I pray that you would awe us today with your glory. Father, and I pray that that would create in us the same heart, the same mind that you have. In Christ's name, amen. Well, the 1946 Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life, the main character is a man named George Bailey. Many of you may have seen this movie. George has high hopes for his life. He plans to get out of town. He wants to go to college. He wants to travel the world. But when his father passes away, he decides to return to his house, to his home, and take over the family business. Ultimately, he spends his time helping the town secure mortgages and loans to help those struggling out to have means and homes. And time again, he tries to find a way to realize those dreams that he had. But the different circumstances in life cause him to continue to choose to put others' interests over his own. And his plans to travel the world really never come to fruition. So spoiler alert if you haven't seen it. In the film, George exemplifies a life of humility, that life of putting others before himself. But the film explores the question, is it all worth it? Is this all pointless? Like what? All of these hopes that he aspired to, giving them up, would it be worth it? Well, our passage tonight will explore a very similar theme. So with that, let's situate ourselves in the book of Philippians. As we have walked through the book, we've seen the consistent theme that Paul has made as he's been writing to the church of Philippi while in prison. It's that as citizens of heaven, Christians are to joyfully pursue unity through humility for the forward progress of the gospel. And as we saw in our last Sunday evening Devo in chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Paul exhorts Christians to seek this unity by giving up conceit, by giving up selfish ambition, and leaning into the humility that puts others' interests before one's own. Now, it's one thing to say, be humble. But what does that actually look like? What does humility look like when played out in a life? Well, in our passage this morning, Paul is going to show us the greatest example of humility who ever lived. He embodies the commandment that Paul has made at the beginning of the chapter. So let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, starting in verses 5 through 11. Let's read. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So from these verses, I think we'll see one main idea, and it's this. Pursue unity by embracing the glory of Christ's humble mindset. I'll say it again. Pursue unity by embracing the glory of Christ's humble mindset. And Paul calls us to embrace the glory of this mindset in three ways. And those three ways are going to serve as the three points for our message tonight. So we are to embrace Christ's mindsets set by point one, beholding Christ's humiliation. That'll be verses 6 through 8. Point two, drawing strength from Christ's glorification, verses 9 through 11. And then point three, responding in imitation, verse 5. So first, we'll look at that first point there in verses 6 through 8, and we'll behold Christ's humiliation that he chose for our sakes. So when Paul wants to show Christians how to be humble, he sets forth a picture, really a portrait of Christ's humility. Starting in verse 6, we see that Christ was eternally happy, eternally blessed. He had everything. As the text says, he was in the form of God, with all the majesty and glory of being God. He enjoyed the highest possible status of being the beloved of the Father and fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. But what does Christ do with that position? At the absolute peak, over all created glory, Christ moves down in a glorious humility. As verse 6 says, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, Christ didn't consider being God, that position of being God, as something to be used for his own benefit. Rather, he benevolently used that high status as God to lower himself in the service of others. We read in verse 7 that Christ emptied himself. And he did this not by giving up his divinity, but by taking the form of a servant. Born as man in a manger in the lowest worldly status possible, a servant, or some translations would say a slave. And as verse 8 shows, Christ used his own flesh and blood to serve, even to death on a cross. Christ welcomed for us the horrors of crucifixion, all in unimaginable humility. Why? Well, because as Paul commands and commends earlier in chapter 2, he didn't look to his own interests, but to the interests of others as a servant. He counted our lives as more significant than his own. To secure our salvation and glory to God. This is the glory of Christ's humility. Earthly kings bask in the privilege of their throne. They use their position and their kingdoms to elevate their name. You know, think the men of the Tower of Babel constructing the tower to make a name for themselves. But heaven's king came down from heaven to earth to serve, even down to the grave. Amazing. And that brings us to verses 9 to 11 and to our next point. Paul calls us to draw strength by looking to the other side of Christ's humiliation, to his glorification. So in these verses 9 through 11, Paul concludes with a vision of Christ's exaltation. Because Christ suffered in humility and obedience unto death, God raised him to the highest glory possible. Paul says that he highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that every knee shall bow and tongue confess, this is the Lord. In that short phrase, every knee shall bow, Paul is calling back to the same phrase that God uses in Isaiah 45:22-23. Yahweh himself exerts that he is the only God and that there is salvation in no one else. And he says this in verse 23. Yahweh, Isaiah 45:23, to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. So by identifying Jesus with the name to whom every knee shall bow, God is vindicating the identity of Christ. Christ is Yahweh. Christ is the living God, the Lord of glory over all. And God raises him to that position. The humiliation that Christ endured for love's sake is worth more praise than often our proud minds can comprehend. We tend to think that we have to assert ourselves to get ahead, that power and glory comes through strength. But as Christ said, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. So Paul's words here paint a portrait for us to behold. Paul is like a Van Gogh painting a glimpse of the culmination of all humility. And on the last day, he will transform us as well. Paul says later in Philippians 3:20-21, Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. So Christ sees us when we follow him in the path of humility. And on the last day, he will transform our lowliness into glory like his. So we've seen that Christ's glory comes through the path of this humility, as Brad shared as well, coincidentally, this morning. What does that mean for us? Well, that brings us to our final point, back to verse 5. Paul tells us in verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So Paul here calls us to imitate Christ. Paul paints this picture of Christ's humble mindset that led to his glory, and now he's calling us to respond by imitating. As we seek to uphold the unity of this church that Christ created through his humility, we're called to adopt the same mindset that Christ had in emptying himself in humility to become a servant. So let's think about how Christ's mindset changes our attitude toward our leadership, toward our prosperity, and towards our suffering and discontentment. So we'll start with leadership. For those aspiring to positions of leadership, whether at home, at work, at school, among your friends, or in the church, what motivates you to want to lead? Are you seeking leadership and influence to validate or show off the gifts that you've been given? Do you want others to see your intelligence, your charisma? Maybe it's how hard of a worker you are, how much you give of yourself. You want to be recognized. Well, as Paul pointed out in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 2, that mindset is rooted in pride. It's an ambition rooted in conceit and selfish ambition rather than in humility. And it leads to bitterness and jealousy, the very opposite of the unity that Christ has purchased in his death. Disunity. Paul is calling us to give up on this kind of selfish ambition and to adopt the humility of the mind of Christ. So like Christ, we should consider positions of leadership and influence, and we all have them to some degree or another, as an opportunity to bless and to pour out, not as something to be used for our own benefit. So keep the humility of Christ before your eyes and use your influence to give of yourself, not to get for yourself. In the same way, consider Christ's mindset towards his prosperity. Consider how Christ used his prosperity. He enjoyed complete fulfillment in the Trinity, but he didn't cling to that position out of a mere self-interest. He emptied himself to serve. He took on suffering. For those in a season where things seem to be going well, follow Christ and don't cling to your comfort. Leverage your time, your resources, and your comfort for the good of those in our church and in this city. Weep with those who weep, and share one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Leverage this season for the good of your brother. And for those in the stage of life where things just really aren't going your way, where maybe it just feels hard to keep going, and everything in you just wants to grumble and to complain about the lot that God has given you in life, well, if this is you, consider Christ's mindset on life. In his humility, Christ accepted from God a difficult life. He didn't grumble and complain, even though he had reason to. He deserved nothing but praise and comfort, but he endured it all for the sake of love. And look to the outset, the outcome of that mindset. All that unseen obedience that now seems meaningless is actually leading you on a road to glory. And walking Christ's path, however difficult that might be, contenting yourself in the goodness of God's plan, seeking to serve others through the difficulty, you are being transformed by the Spirit of God at work in you from one degree of glory to the next. You are becoming like him in your sufferings. Because this is the path to knowing Christ, This is the path to knowing Christ intimately in his sufferings. The sufferings are the path. And you will see his resurrection power at work in you as you follow him down this path and as you trust in him through the difficulty. So, brothers and sisters, don't give up. Don't concede and start complaining about life and grumbling that your hopes, like George Bailey, just aren't being realized. God is at work to do something much greater than you would choose for yourself. And as we embrace the glory of Christ's humility and take on his mindset, God is working in us much more than we can see. And as we have the mind of Christ collectively, God is at work to promote and preserve the unity that he purchased for us. So keep looking to this portrait of Christ in Philippians 2. Consider it a paradigm for life, one that applies in every situation. Follow him in imitation. Glory comes through humility, and Paul is showing us that it will all be worth it. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you chose this path. We thank you that you humbled yourself, that you took on flesh, you took on a body so that you might be killed for us. We thank you that we have hope because of you. Father, help us to see the glory of your humility, to know that you are risen now, Father, and help us to walk that path with you and trust that you will give us the strength and the sight to see the beauty of that path. In Christ's name, amen.